BlakeRadio.com.
Due to some violent content, parental discretion is advised.
Hey, this is Chris Jericho, the Ayatollah of rock and roll, and you are listening to WTR Sunday Night.
Welcome to Wrestle Talk Radio.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the evolution of online sports entertainment.
You'd be a fool if you don't check out WTI Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio.
Wrestle Talk Radio, breaking down everything in the world of professional wrestling.
Just in case you've forgotten,
the boss is back.
Triple H is my favorite wrestler.
You were an ass long before I made one out of you.
With your host, Tim Stein.
If you mean it gets better with age, it does.
Mace.
English, motherfucker! Do you speak it?
Omega.
Think fast, I talk fast. I need you guys to act this if you want to get out of this.
And the producer, Sir Rocket.
Well, let's not start sucking each other's dicks quite yet.
Hey, this is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a. Edge.
Yo, I'm in five halls of fame. I wear a kilt. I play the bagpipes. Who am I? I'm Roddy Piper, for heaven's sake!
Hey, this is former WWE superstar Shawn Michaels.
This is Booker T, five-time WCW champ, and you're listening to WTR Sunday Night.
Don't stop listening, or I will find you. I know where you live. I have Google Earth.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
That's it, you dig that! Suck it!
And welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. After a lot of trouble and a few weeks off every now and then.
To cleanse the soul.
We must come to you now because WrestleMania is almost upon us. We must talk about it. And we do have a lot to talk about because the biggest show in wrestling all year round is almost here. But TakeOver Dallas, we talk about later. It's WrestleMania for now. I am Omega, the be-all, end-all of our network. Joining me tonight, the man who sold out to the Million Dollar Man for a McDonald's McWrap, Mace.
Yes, but you know what? As the man says, everybody's got a price, and mine's surprisingly cheap.
You whore.
Ba-dum-bum-bum-bum. Damn right. I don't turn down free food. It doesn't matter who's giving it to me.
Even if it's a dude in the white truck.
As long as they don't put me in those fancy white coats and take me away to the insane asylum, then I'm good.
Okay.
Arkham.
And also joining us tonight, the man who probably invented the recipe for the McWrap, the one and only Tim Stein.
I don't even know what the hell a McWrap is.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to another edition of WTR.
Right, I'm sure the people who make it don't know what it is either.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, we're back on the air with WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. It is the Sunday before WrestleMania, and this is the unofficial start to WrestleMania week because WrestleMania week can't really start until we get going. That's just all there is to it.
Right, and it's officially the start of the WTR WrestleMania week.
Which has got a whole bunch of crap going on. By the way, guys, we're playing WTR's WrestleMania Pick'em tonight. So if you know anybody who might want to win a copy of John Cena's book, tell them to tune the hell in so they hear what's going on tonight. And for those of you who have played Pick'em before, play it regularly, you know what the hell to do. So,
yeah, you should know what to do by now. And yeah. I can promise you this. The tie-breaking questions are some of the most interesting tie-breaking questions we've had in a long time.
They're retarded.
No, they actually, you have to actually put some thought into them.
Yeah, that's, you know, that's what's retarded about it is like,
thoughts.
Yeah. That's retarded.
Stop that.
Stop what? Don't know what
stop being you.
Okay, yeah. Why don't you just ask the sun to quit shining?
I can tell you right now, the sun shines.
I can tell you right now, I'm looking out my window. It's currently supposedly daytime. I can't see the sun. It's hidden behind a lot of clouds.
I can't see the sun either. It's hidden behind a planet.
The sun is hidden behind a planet. That's no blood moon.
But by the way, people, you should go down to your local Target stores, I believe it is, where you'll see John Cena in, what is it, the 12-inch action figure variety in his new costume. Supposedly he had a movie come out this past week.
Oh, that... I'm sure he's got toys at Target, too. What I shot was from... that was from Toys R Us, and those are like 3 feet tall. Like, those are, that's a big ass John Cena.
Yeah, the WWE put out John Cena in, you know, big ass variety, and of course Omega took a snapshot with Superman right next to the John Cena.
It's the same company that makes those super simple jumbo figures, and they just happen to be running Superman and John Cena at the same time. It's like, wow, that's not ironic at all.
Nope, not at all.
Yeah, well, you know, if you listen to WTR Sunday Night on a regular basis, you'll understand why we find irony in that.
Or
if you watch WWE anytime in the last decade, you'd understand.
There you go. Yeah. all I got to say before we dive into it is I think Jesse Eisenberg would have made a great Joker.
And if you want more of those opinions, go listen to Last Night CB Radio, the post-show part of it, where Tim talked about the movie.
I just ate. Let's not talk about that movie.
Owen actually dragged me out. Well, he convinced me to drag him to go see Batman versus Superman last night, and the movie wasn't bad. A little longer than it should have been, but it was entertaining enough. They did a pretty good job, and believe it or not, Ben Batfleck wasn't that bad.
I haven't actually seen the movie yet, so I can't comment, and I don't think Omega wants to see the movie, so he probably won't comment.
Nope. Well, I don't intend to dish out any spoilers or anything, but I will tell you that it was worth the price of admission. It wasn't worth the price of the concession treats.
No movie ever is. Have you seen the prices of like popcorn and drinks these days at cinemas? That's highway robbery. Jesus.
That's what's retarded is the price of the concession treats. Yeah, absolutely. $4 for a bag of M&Ms.
Large popcorn and drink costs me $15.
Let's see, what was it? It was $6.50 for a medium popcorn, but $6.95 for the large. So we each got a large because that's just ridiculous. The topping was free, so I made him give me like half a container full of topping on my popcorn.
Fair enough. Anyway, we're supposed to be talking wrestling right now.
So there you go. Yeah. We're gonna kick off here right now. Apparently there's some indecision going on concerning Sting, and is he retired or is he not retired? 1 week, yes. The next week, well, no, not yet.
Well, to be fair, the original source for that rumor was, not Sting himself.
Yeah.
Whereas the denial was, that's most definitely from the source from Sting.
Yeah, but the thing is, the denial from Sting just came across as a qualified denial, right? Like not yet, as opposed to, nope, not retired. Well, not yet. Do you think the announcement might be coming imminently?
Well, it'll be coming eventually, because, you know, look, the guy's got age and a ton of injuries creeping up on him very quickly, and as we saw last time he wrestled, he's nowhere near a spring chicken, that's for sure.
No, this is absolutely true. But you don't think that he's going to wrestle another match for WWE, do you?
There's an old fanboy in me that still wants him to.
Well, yeah. Can't get away from that.
Can he get a pinfall? Please. Somebody. Anybody.
Just one win in WWE. That's all we're asking.
One. That's it. That's all I want.
Look, just give him Zack Ryder at SmackDown in a jobber match. Just. Something.
Okay, hey. Ryder is on WrestleMania and Sting is not. You really want to bring Sting down to that level?
Yeah, what's wrong with this picture?
I'm just saying, it's like, just give the man something. Even if you gotta go, like, you know, pick somebody, bring in a local indie jobber or something and you have it done on the pre-show, or, you know, while everybody's filtering into the arena before the pre-show or something, just let the man have a win.
Yeah, that would be good. So yeah, Sting, if you're going to retire, but make sure that they let you get a pinfall before you do. That being said, when do you think he might officially announce a retirement? Before or after SummerSlam?
Probably after. I don't see him jumping aboard the I'm retiring due to injury bandwagon.
No. Now, do you think that maybe they might be holding off any official retirement announcement because of all the injuries that have happened in WWE over the last year?
I think they're holding off any official retirement announcements so they can be the one to announce it.
As opposed to TMZ and WrestleZone and shit like that.
Yeah, because that's kind of a major deal. It's like, hey, we finally got Sting in the WWE, and he's here long enough to say he's not wrestling anymore.
Yeah.
Like, if we can't get a big, like, somewhere in marketing's mind is, if we can't get more big matches out of Sting, if we can't have any more, like, dream WCW versus WWE matches out of him, then we at least need to get that retirement.
Yeah.
Like, we need a big deal Sting thing, and that's probably about it. Thanks, Seth.
Yeah, you can't really blame Seth. I mean, he may have been the straw that broke the camel's back, so to speak.
No, the turnbuckle did that.
Yeah, he may be the straw to throw him into the turnbuckle that broke the camel's back. But it's just...
I don't see why you book someone in their mid-50s to take turnbuckle power bombs.
Yeah, that was kind of silly.
We're about to see Shane McMahon going to a Hell in a Cell match against The Undertaker at WrestleMania. Yeah. Huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the lesson was not learned.
Probably not. It's depressing.
Yeah, well, as far as
the one guy in his 30s in the entirety of the main event at WrestleMania, and it's the guy no one wants to see at WrestleMania.
I know, Roman Reigns should not be wrestling.
That's the thing. Look at this. Okay, Undertaker in his mid-50s. Shane in his mid-40s and been fucking in eternity since his last match. And Triple H in mid-40s who's
For all intents and purposes, call him 50.
Who's supposed to be like semi-retired because he's management now.
Yeah.
And the one we're saying shouldn't be wrestling at WrestleMania is Roman Reigns.
The only one, yeah. Well, what can you do? I don't know.
So Sting.
Sting, if you retire, get a win first. That's all we're asking.
Pretty much.
Yeah. So, yeah, we never talk about these guys anymore because, well, they're just basically dead swarmed over and don't realize it yet. But TNA! We actually have a little bit of TNA news. Speaking of broken necks, Bobby Roode and Eric Young both have left TNA Wrestling, guys.
Yeah, and the first thought that came to mind when I saw that was poor James Storm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because he just signed back on with the company, got reunited with Bobby Roode in Beer Money Inc. Now Bobby's out of the company.
And Bobby says, yeah, screw this, I'm gone.
playing the whole, hey, look, I'm wrestling at NXT, guys. You want to bump up that paycheck a little bit there?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Come back and immediately do away with his partner. Great. Okay, I played that card right.
Oops. So, yeah, you know, talk about NXT there. Can you see Bobby Roode or Eric Young signing and working in NXT?
I could easily see Eric Young going into NXT. Bobby Roode, maybe not.
I honestly see it the other way. I'd be more likely to see Bobby Roode there. Now, if James Storm hadn't had his brief little flirtation with NXT, I would say no way to both.
Mm-hmm.
But like at this point, yeah, I mean, they've more than proven themselves. They're very solid workers. And if WWE is willing to hire out a former TNA stock now, even if it's just, you know, for temporary NXT thing, good. That's kind of what WWE was looking for a long time in NXT, was to hire on experienced indie talents. You know, not necessarily people that are known to the WWE audience, but guys that have been working around the world, guys who have been in the ring a good 10 years, but, you know, they haven't been in WWE before to know what WWE money is like. So let's sign them to NXT for a little while.
Well, do you think that either one of these two guys could possibly just like sign with WWE and hit the main roster?
Oh God, no.
No.
Neither of them. They'd have to go into NXT for a bit and see what they go from there. And that's the problem, is that these guys are used to pulling out a certain amount of money with TNA to suddenly go on that NXT money, which is not that much.
Yeah.
it ends up being another James Storm situation. It's like, I get the exposure with NXT and the notoriety and everything, but I draw more money being with TNA. So I wouldn't be surprised if they do end up in NXT, it's going to be another James Storm situation. They come in for a little bit, do a couple of shows, and then go back to TNA going, hey, you want to up that paycheck and we'll come back? Yeah, cool. All right, let's do it.
Well, what do you think the chances are either or both of them just heading to New Japan?
Yeah, it's possible.
That's actually an interesting idea simply because WWE is kind of looting New Japan.
And New Japan, and this is why I bring it up, New Japan is starting to hurt for talent thanks to WWE.
That's actually a very interesting and different gulf than we're normally accustomed to. Like, typically it's typically we're looking for people to file into TNA who just came off of WWE.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not used to I'm not used to a company being willing to take in TNA talent because WWE bled them.
Mm-hmm. It's a bit of a different swing, isn't it?
Just a bit.
Just a touch, because we're used to it being the opposite. So.
Well, it's also interesting to see that Japan is now becoming a viable option again.
Mm-hmm. You know, I have to admit that I would love to see New Japan strike an actual real North American deal.
Yes, because they got their own streaming service now.
Yeah.
Yeah. The problem is, you know, it'd have to make them enough money to pay for, you know, English commentators.
That's just it. I mean, I would love to have like English commentary in New Japan and have it on regular TV.
And not Tajiri.
Yeah, not Tajiri. New Japan and WWE, how do they get along with each other?
They don't. Have you seen what WWE's done?
Well, yeah, they've taken half their talent. I know that. Like,
yeah, they don't.
Decimated the Bullet Club and everything else like that. But is that a case of WWE's being pricky and saying, hey, guys, you know, like, here, sign this as soon as your contract's up? Or their contract ended and they decided, well, you know what, we're going to go to WWE.
No, that was straight up like WWE saw some talents, contracts were coming up, and they just straight up leached them. Like, rumor was WWE was after the Bullet Club name too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they wanted a faction, basically, lock, stock, barrel.
Okay. But
some stuck to their guns. Some are a little bit more loyal to the company. And New Japan, yeah, we don't really want to give away our trademarks like that.
Yeah. So we can forget about any potential assist from Vince and the WWE for New Japan to break into the North American market or to get propped up or anything like that, like they did with ECW for a little while.
See, that would have been a fascinating thing. It's like, hey, we want Nakamura, we want one of your best tag teams, you know, we want the Bullet Club.
Mm-hmm.
But in exchange, New Japan will be on the network and you get a cut of the profit based on the viewership.
Now, there, that would be damned interesting to have WWE actually open up and do something like that. I can't see them doing it for anybody.
Oh, they wouldn't. They wouldn't. But they have that capacity now.
They have that ability, yeah.
Yeah, and to realize, hey, nobody is a threat to them.
Yeah.
You know, so, like, instead of just, like, buying out the competition, make the competition work for you. You know, bank a little bit off the competition in exchange for that, you know, that push into a new market.
Yeah, well, you know, I wouldn't be adverse to that at all. But as far as going to New Japan, which of the two would be the most successful? Do you figure Eric Young or Bobby Roode?
Bobby by a mile.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just his look and the way he wrestles over there would mesh so well with the company.
Yeah, I hate to say it.
His current look just does not work.
Yeah, I don't know what this biker lumberjack thing he's doing now is, but. Like it's not the Eric Young that I know. It's not the Eric Young I really liked.
Yeah, biker lumberjack. That's good app description.
Yeah, EY should just go fishing. Let him do his fishing show for a while. He'll be fine.
Well, let EY go to NXT and let Bobby Roode go to New Japan. How's that sound?
Yeah, could work.
It might. Yeah, you never know. So
but speaking quickly of NXT, I just want to. Put a congratulations out there to Mikey Nichols and Shane Haste, otherwise known as the Mighty Don't Kneel, guys who come from Perth here in Australia, who were wrestling for Pro Wrestling Noah, are now signed officially to NXT.
Oh,
the Aussies are invading, and we're getting popular.
Congratulations to them. Good job and all that all that stuff. As it
and they're getting well, names they, as dumb as Buddy Murphy, too.
Probably. But these guys are phenomenal tag team wrestlers. I've seen them a couple of times live when they've come over here. And, yeah, like, they are innovative as hell for the tag team division. So, you know, as usual, the NXT tag division going from strength to strength.
Mm-hmm. Well,
I guess I'll put that out there.
That'll be fun to see. Guys, Daniel Bryan has asked for time off from WWE. Do you think he's trying to leave or what?
Well, supposedly the relationship's still pretty strong. So, mm-hmm. It wasn't that kind of got me worried. It was when Brie also took off a few shows that really started like really panicking me a little bit.
Oh yeah?
Well, yeah, like that's a little bit scary to coincide that way.
No.
Well, yeah. What about her time? Well, you know, you're worried about her taking the time off. What about her announcement that she's to retire after WrestleMania?
Was that an official announcement, or was that the speculation?
I think that's the official rumor, is that she's supposed to
Okay. Right there. Official rumor. That's yeah. You're splitting the difference here. That's not what I asked.
I'm splitting hairs. The official rumor, which is
saying official rumor.
Just let me
finish. If it's a rumor, it's not official.
Let me finish. It's the official rumor. It's
shut up.
It's unconfirmed, confirmed. Supposedly, she is announcing her retirement on Monday Night Raw next Monday night, right after WrestleMania. WWE and Brie Bella have neither confirmed nor denied this. However,
well, everyone else in her family in that company is disabled. Get out. Get out now.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, don't blame her. You're the only healthy one left. Run!
Well, if she is going to announce her, or it, like if she is going to retire the night after WrestleMania, why do you think that might be?
Probably because Daniel Bryan announced he wanted to have kids on live television. Just a hunch.
Yeah, that, Bryan's health issues as well. So, you know.
Give her some time to take care of her husband a bit and maybe get knocked up in the process.
Yeah, just what we need. You know, baby mode.
Baby mode.
You know that's gonna be like her first pregnancy picture on Instagram. That's exactly how it's gonna get tagged.
And ladies and gentlemen, Mace has just announced ahead of schedule WWE's new T-shirt.
It'll be available on WWEshop.com in 3, 2.
Oh my god! Oh my god! I just thought of it. You make baby beards with Daniel Bryan's beard printed on the front, like a bib.
Baby bibs in the shape and the form of Daniel Bryan's beard.
You know they do it. You know they would do it.
Goat baby.
Well, why not? I'm still surprised that at one point they had the little the baby onesie thing that was eat, sleep, poop, repeat.
Yeah, that's
and that was an officially licensed WWE product.
Fucking hilarious. I never saw
I got your next idea. Okay, we got the baby onesie with a tit on it, and it says, feed me more.
Well played.
Okay.
It's honest.
That's fair enough. Yep. I suppose. Shit. Eat, sleep, repeat. That still has me juggling.
I'm trying to find a way. Baby merchandise.
Well, there is, actually. And I'm trying to find some way to work the New Day into it somehow.
Why do you need to? Their normal shit looks like something a baby would wear.
Yeah, it's true.
Little rainbow unicorns and Adventure Time cartoons.
Yeah, you know those fake little unicorn things? They do not look like unicorn horns when those guys put them on. I'm sorry, they don't.
Okay, how many unicorns have you seen?
How many have you seen?
More than you.
I don't think so.
I've been to anime conventions. I've seen scary shit.
I was married to a woman who had a thing for unicorns, and she had like shelves full of them.
I've been trapped in an elevator with a unicorn.
Okay, now I thought you didn't touch drugs.
I don't.
That was an anime convention.
It still happened.
It still happened, damn it. There you go. Yeah, that being said, guys, let's take our first time out of the evening, and we come back, we'll talk about Hulk Hogan and his millions and millions. Before we dive into WrestleMania Pick'em. Everybody, listen to WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. We'll be back right after this. Please allow me to introduce myself. I'm a man of wealth and taste.
Thursday nights, you need to experience The Rack. From wrestling news, discussions, and interviews with wrestling's biggest superstars, like Kane, Seth Rollins, Edge, and more. It's The Rack, Thursday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern on RackRadioShow.com.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with The Raw Post Show.
Suplex City, bitch!
From the big returns...
I didn't just make headlines last night. I turned the WWE Universe upside down.
To the shocking moments.
The last time you and I together, we were in Brooklyn on Monday Night Raw. It was me, you, Rusev. Remember that? That was an amazing night. And then remember, you came to my hotel room and surprised me that night. Yeah, that was crazy. Remember that? And you told me you didn't want to be with Rusev anymore. You said he was big, he was hairy, he smelled like rotten testicles. And we did those special exercises. You showed me how to do the one-legged Russian vacuum. Yes! Remember I showed you how to do the Wisconsin wheelbarrow? Hey, we were just talking about you, kinda. And you guys still together? I heard you broke up.
We're actually engaged to be married.
You engaged to be married? Mazel! That's fantastic news! You got a hell of a woman here. She's flexible as all hell. Whoa! I mean, it's amazing!
And the moments that leave you speechless.
My name is Bo, and I'm here to say Flo Rida's disrespectful in a major way. You sucker punched my friend in WrestleMania 28, but I'd be upset too if I was named after this awful stain.
Oh, you got it!
You need to channel your negativity in a more productive manner. You hold an ace high, but I have a full house. Like, my name is Danny Tanner.
Oh!
Bo! Please!
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Calling all pro wrestling fans, don't forget to check out PWMania.com. Again, the web address is PWMania.com. It's the best place on the internet today to get your late-breaking pro wrestling news and spoilers. We also have exclusive interviews, exclusive live results coverage of pay-per-views, rare photos, videos, divas, knockouts, and more. Exclusive writers, pro wrestler columns as well, where you can get a real insider's view of the world of professional wrestling. Bookmark it today, right now. It is PWMania.com.
You never know what will happen when you tune in to CB Radio.
The first award was crowd participation. Your choices were... Fandangoing, yes, let's go Cena, Cena sucks, and what's up? Sub, what's your pick?
I think I picked Cena sucks.
No, you didn't.
What was it? It's going to be great.
I love these picks.
Sub, you picked yes, yes, yes.
Oh, yeah, Daniel Bryan, of course.
Yeah!
why did I hear that? You didn't say that.
Yes, I did.
Said it. Yes, yes, yes.
And that was the one that won. Got that right.
Holy shit.
But because you changed your pick...
No, I didn't hear the option of Daniel Bryan yet, just yet. The guy's magical. He's a magical little guy.
The LOL moment of the year. Your choices were the Great Khali and Jinder Mahal try to snake charm Santino's Cobra.
You know, when you say it like that, that sounds so wrong.
I know. So
I'm going to say I went with the first one where they try to tame the Cobra.
No, no, you didn't.
What did he say?
He said he picked the snake charmer. No.
Ah!
No.
Well, see, that's what I figured I would go with.
That's what Rob picked. You picked Titus O'Neil throwing up. You were wrong. It was the Rock concert.
Jesus, I was way off there.
Insult of the year, sub.
Fuck, I have no idea what I went with. I'm going to go with the Big Show and Stephanie.
Congratulations, you picked the winning one today.
Yeah.
Today.
Can I trade in the ones when I like get a little off them? Do I trade two of them in for a win?
Diva of the year.
I'll go with the Funkadactyl chick. No, because I know it was AJ Lee. Do I want to win now?
Hold on.
Or do I stick to my guns?
So which one are you picking?
Funkadactyl.
Alright, so picked AJ last week. You picked the Funko Beckles this week. Ace and Crispy picked AJ. That's all wrong. Rob picked the Bella Twins, and the Bella Twins won the award.
Suck it, bitches.
When you calculate everyone's pick, CB Radio and WTR pick. Subway, you were 500. You were 4-4. You did the best out of everybody.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Oh, my God. Wait. Damn. I think my mind, my head just exploded. I'm done.
I'm seeing something disconnected from my brain. I ain't taking calls, so I came to kick ass tonight.
Tune in to CB Radio, Saturdays, midnight Eastern Time, on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
What's up? This is WWE Superstar The Miz, and you are listening to Wild Talk Radio Network, and it is awesome.
Welcome back, WTR, Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Many thanks to PW Mania, www.pwmania.com for all your news and views. Check them out. And for those of you tuned in and listening and you're not in the chat room, well, why don't you come on over to www.wildtalkradio.com, check out the brand new look to the website and the really, really, really lot easier to navigate navigation bar. Click on chat, get into the chat room, and chat with everybody else that's here.
Sounds simple enough to me.
There you go. That's just that easy. Absolutely. Yeah. So right before we went to the break, I brought up Hulk Hogan winning a lawsuit. Now, he had that sex tape released by Gawker against his wishes or unbeknownst to him or whatever initially. So he went and sued them. He asked for $100 million. The initial award was for like $115 million U.S., and then he was awarded an extra $15 plus another $5 on $15 million and another $5 million on top of the $15 million. It works out to $140 million.
I didn't know they broke it down by $5 and $10 amounts. It would have taken them a long time to announce it.
Yeah, well, $5 and $10 million amounts, or $15 and whatever. Whatever! But isn't that a little excessive?
Nope. Not at all.
They awarded him more than he asked for. Now, if Gawker's going to launch an appeal, and no doubt that award will be reduced, what do you think that it might get reduced to?
Probably still more than what Gawker is worth.
It doesn't matter. Like, Gawker's worth about $85 million. The appeal would cost them $50
million. Uh-huh.
They're going to have to go broke just to appeal, just so they don't go in debt because of how broke this is going to make them.
Mm-hmm. So basically, have we seen the end of Gawker now, thanks to this?
So.
Now, how much of that money do you think Hogan's going to actually recoup?
Who knows? To be honest, like, and this is the thing, I don't think the money is the real point here. The real point is basically Gawker and the way that they do their journalism is a bigger stain on journalism in general. They released a sex tape that was recorded without permission of one of the people that was in said sex tape, and tried to claim it under a First Amendment right, which, you know, I'm no fancy lawyer, nor do I really know much about the American law system, but the First Amendment is government intervention on media, not media in general, to break the privacy rights of citizens.
Mm-hmm. The right to free speech in America is based on the government being unable to censor or punish you for the things you say.
And that stems from before the American Revolution, under British rule, if you spoke up against the monarchy, then you could be thrown into the stockade.
Yeah, but that's the real victory here, is to see that there is a line that, you know, online media muckrakers such as Gawker can go to, and what they've done in this case is they've jumped over that line and kept running, you know, 500 miles down the track. And sure, Hogan could get a big payday out of this.
Yeah.
But the bigger win is that we now know how far, places like Gawker can push.
Yeah.
Before they get pushed back.
Now, as far as Gawker releasing the video, were they in their rights to announce that Hulk Hogan was caught on a private videotape having sex with his best friend's wife and uttering racial epithets? Would they have been in the right just to say that and not do anything else?
For that, I believe so, because then you're talking tabloid gossip. Uh-huh. Whether it has a shred of evidence or not is, at that point, ambiguous.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, it's – he could have – he might have been able to sue for libel or defamation, but that's not something that's going to get taken as seriously as this was.
Yeah, they were reporting on – if they had reported in that way, they would be reporting on the existence of a tape.
Yeah.
But what they did is they went and they published that tape, which is two completely different things.
And the actual publication of the videotape itself was an abrogation of Hogan's right to privacy as a citizen. And yep. the question is, okay, look, the guy's in the public eye. He's a celebrity. At some point in your professional life as a celebrity, you lose a certain amount of your privacy. That's just part of the beast, okay? This lawsuit kind of says, okay, well, a certain amount of privacy is lost, but there is a line that you still cannot cross.
Correct.
Right? And are you guys going to miss Gawker? Because I think that's it. Gawker's done.
You published a tape for profit that was illegally created in the first place. Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Yeah, I'm happy to see the end of Gawker and all their independent or quote-unquote umbrellaed websites such as, you know, Kotaku, Lifehacker, Jezebel, all that shit that they own. And just, I'm happy to watch it burn. I'll pass out the marshmallows for everyone else.
Yay!
Now we aren't like the people that frequent things like TMZ and Gawker and National Enquirer and stuff like that.
No, we're intelligent.
Yeah, there you go. The point of that is there is such a huge following for all of these dirt rags, and you know, we're not talking pro wrestling dirt rags, but just dirt rags in general. There's such a huge following. Is it a case of supply and demand? Did these sites create the demand, or was the demand there and they just up to satiate it?
The demand's always there because there's always people who are so, you know, frankly, there's a demographic where they are just so unhappy with their lives, they have to know everything about a celebrity's life that they are obsessing over.
Yeah.
It's a kind of thing of like living vicariously through the people that you idolize and respect and the famous people that you know of. And like, oh my God, you know, don't they live a fascinating life that I will never see?
Yeah.
Like, so there is this media, there is this demand for it. And, you know, it's just a matter of, well, how much of that can you satisfy before you get in trouble for it? And that, I think we found that out.
You can talk about the sex tape, you just can't publish it.
Yeah. And, yeah, like Omega said, there's a demand for all this type of news and gossip and everything and a look into lives that we will never have. The problem is that Gawker believed themselves to be bigger than the laws that are in place.
Well, they believed that they could
get away with saying, publishing, putting out whatever they want. And this has been going on for years.
Mm. Yeah, they
specifically with Gawker and their little franchises.
Yeah, they genuinely believe their news is more important than the rights and the freedoms of the people the news is about.
Well, there is such a thing as freedom of the press. How does freedom of the press not, in you guys, your opinion, guys, how does freedom of the press does not cover the release of this video?
Because the video was obtained illegally. It was created without consent.
Well, other things have been obtained.
See, that would be like To put it in context, this would be like Omega going to a convention and recording, you know, having a video sitting there going when he's having a private conversation with like Scott McNeil or somebody at a convention, and Scott says, "Oh, I noticed that you're filming. You're not allowed to put that in there." And Omega goes, "Oh, well, I'm going to put it out there anyway." That's the wrong thing to do.
Uh-huh.
No. It's like me having a private conversation with somebody about very private things they normally wouldn't speak of. And then once they leave the room, go turn off the camera that I didn't tell them was recording the whole time and go publish it. Because, ooh, money.
Well, that's literally what happened in this situation. Now I'm just playing devil's advocate here, just so we can stir a little bit of a conversation over this naturally. As you guys know, I was born into a media, radio, and TV family. The one thing that I grew up surrounded by was they called it responsible journalism. There were certain things you didn't do, certain lines you didn't cross. Before your time, before my time, well known now, like 50 some odd years after the fact, Marilyn Monroe and John F. Kennedy were intimate with each other on more than one occasion. The press got a hold of this. They knew about this at that time, but they never brought it up. Would that be the case nowadays?
Oh, no.
Hell no. That's yeah. Long gone. Yeah, a lot of it is to do with the advent of social media as well. We're putting so much information out there that the line, the like journalistic integrity, journalistic respect and everything, all that stuff is such a blurred line today that it's hard to see exactly what we can and can't publish.
Yeah. And there is no real respect in journalism these days. If it gets them attention, they report about it. You know, that's why fucking Donald Trump won't go away, because it brings in ratings. Who cares if he's going to get the country nuked if he wins? It brings in ratings to put him on, because it's such a circus. It's such a train wreck.
And the problem with that is the more they put him on, the more followers he gains.
And they don't care. They don't care, because ratings, dollar. You know, that's it. There is no moral high ground. There is no, is this the right thing to do? It is just, hey, you know, we couldn't get this kind of attention if a truck full of chickens crashed into an explosive bin. You cannot get more attention right now than Donald Trump is getting, all because it's such chaos, and chaos brings attention.
You guys, have you seen the movie Idiocracy?
Don't you start. Don't you dare start.
You've seen it. Okay.
I hate that movie. I desperately hate that movie.
Okay, now I got to know why you hate that movie. Is that because that movie is actually
because it's being intentionally stupid? I hate stupid humor to begin with.
Okay,
but you compound it with them trying to be stupid, and it gets that much worse. Yes, I've seen the comparisons. Trust me, I get it.
Okay.
But yeah, like this, just to summarize everything, look, you know, Hogan might not get that full 140 mil, you know, that it might drop through an appeal or something, but as we've said, the real victory is we now know where that line is that these type of websites should not cross.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping that even if Gawker appeals, you know, puts down the 50 mil and appeals for it, for the money to disappear or completely, that it just brings a lot more people that have been wronged by Gawker and its affiliate websites to the forefront, saying, hey, if Hogan can do it, we can do it too, and we're going to fucking kill your company.
Yeah. Okay. Now, here's the conspiracy theory portion of this whole Hulk Hogan saga, if you will. Could you guys, out of left field, if you squint, could you see WWE and Hogan conspiring to have Hogan fired and removed from the Hall of Fame just to show how much damage Gawker has done to his career, and then 2 years from now we see him back with WWE?
No. I know what you're doing. You're trying to stir a conversation. No, that's the dumbest fucking thing you've ever uttered on this show.
Yeah, I want to preface that by saying, this is something that I read online. This is not coming from me.
I still wouldn't.
Look, no. it, I hate that conspiracy booker crap.
WWE has distanced themselves from this entire thing just in case things went south. The fact that it's gone in Hogan's favor means, yes, there could be a chance, you know, 2 years, 5 years down the track, that we could see Hogan working once again with WWE.
Keep in mind, WWE didn't fire him because of the sex tape, because, hey, Sonny's still in the Hall of Fame.
Yep.
You know, they fired him because of the racism he was accused of because of things he said in that video.
Yep.
And in either case, they really can't have one of their ambassadors during a PG era either talking like that or being seen like that.
Mm-hmm.
But as we've seen with that company, time does heal all wounds.
I said it when this started. Right now, they went as harsh as they could to Hogan to show, hey, we're doing the right thing by our fans, and we will not stand for this racism either. And everyone gives WWE a standing ovation. 2 years later, WWE opens its arms and goes, you know, time heals all wounds. This is Hogan's home. Now that he's down and out and all this has kind of wrecked his image, we want to give him another chance because everyone deserves another chance. And WWE gets another standing applause for being the bigger man. You know, it's all public relations.
Set up by WWE to be a win-win for them both ways.
Yep.
Which, yeah, I mean, that, you know, that's an understandable thing, I suppose.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, so there's all that, and I suppose we'll find out within 5 years if he's walking back into the fold when and if it happens. But during the break, we were texting back and forth on Skype. Mace, you found out who the big boss man is getting inducted by in the WWE Hall of Fame class of 2016.
Indeed, it was announced, according to you, Tim, at least 4 hours ago, that the big boss man will be inducted by Slick into the 2016 WWE Hall of Fame class instead of the question mark we had yesterday.
Yeah, because it was written yesterday. Is Slick a good choice?
Yeah, he managed Boss Man for a while, and
yeah,
I don't see a problem with it.
When you saw the question mark, did you have any names potentially hit the back of your mind as potential candidates?
I had no one, really. It was like I was sort of trying to go through it all in my head and go, like, who was with this man at any point in time to induct him? And the only thing that I could come up with was, just for a bit of a laugh, would be Hulk Hogan inducting him into the Hall of Fame just because of the first Nitro match.
Yeah, except that would never happen. Omega, did you have anybody pop into your mind?
Not offhand, because I didn't even. I had totally forgotten that he even had a manager at any point.
Mm. Well, he did have a few different ones over his extremely lengthy career with all the different companies he worked for. There was one person that popped into my head, and it was the Moth of the South, Jimmy Hart.
Yeah, not bad. Could we have gotten Pepper the dog to do it, just to show that Pepper was still alive?
that would have been good. But yeah, and like you just typed it out on Skype there when you were talking about Hulk Hogan doing it, just as, you know, shits and giggles. The one thought that I just had immediately right before that was printed was Big Show, because I can remember the feud that the two of them had with Big Show's father dying and the whole feud and everything else like that, right?
Oh, God, I forgot all about that bloody thing. That was a terrible storyline. Like, that was horrible on all levels.
That was bad in more ways than one. But, yeah, no, the only thing I can think is, if I'm thinking, well, who could induct Big Boss Man, Big Bubba, Big Boss Man, Big Bubba? Let's see, he was in NWA, WA, WCW, WWE. Who was with them in all these different feds, different points in time? Jimmy Hart. But yeah, I guess Slick works. So, but that being said, now that we've figured out who's inducting Big Boss Man, we've got a complete Hall of Fame class of 2016 here: Sting, Godfather, Freebirds, Jacqueline, Stan Hansen, and of course the Big Boss Man. Sting is inducted by Ric Flair, and I would have to say, pretty much that was a no-brainer right there.
Yeah. Yeah, that's easily.
Yep. Now, Godfather being inducted by APA, that should be fun.
That's just going to be Storytime Central.
And I'm just wondering if we should play a drinking game while we watch the Hall of Fame. And every time you hear the word "damn," you got to take a slug.
Ah, he's not going to overplay that.
Damn. I don't get this one. New Day is inducting the Freebirds, and the only connection I see there is the Freebird rule.
That's pretty much it.
Yeah, it's the modern big team versus the original big team.
Yeah, and other than that, yeah, no, I just don't get it. But the thing is, I can't think of somebody else who would induct Freebirds. I don't know why, but Terry Funk flashed into my brain for like half of a split second, and I'm like, no, that wouldn't work.
No. The unfortunate thing is their most memorable feud is with the Von Erichs, and there's not a whole lot of them left.
Not the ones they feuded with, anyway.
Yeah.
Like, the only one still standing is Kerry, right?
Yeah, I want to say Kerry.
I'm pretty sure it's
Kerry. I thought he was supposed to be involved.
So, I don't know. But, yeah. Now, Jacqueline is being inducted by the Dudley Boys, and I see that. But for some strange reason, I kind of sort of was hoping that WWE and Ivory, Lisa Moretti, would have buried their
they have buried the hatchet because Ivory was on table for three.
Oh, okay. Well, they did bury the hatchet, but well, if they buried the hatchet, then
if there's anyone that you would put Jacqueline with, I probably might have gone maybe Mark Marrow, Sable.
Yeah, they had one hell of a feud.
Oh, that was her first feud.
Yeah,
like that's how she broke in.
Well, it was Sable that ripped off her shirt in the ring, right?
Kevin Sullivan would be another one because Sullivan worked with her a lot in WCW.
Well, yeah, but that was WCW. Yeah,
it doesn't matter. Sullivan now works for WWE, doesn't he?
Okay. Who's the main inductee this year, Tim?
Sting.
Okay, so let's not say, well, it's WCW.
Well, this is a bit different.
No, it's not.
Sting was a bit of a bigger than he was.
Look, that's like saying, well, you know, of course Sting is going to be inducted by Triple H, the first guy he ever had a match with, ever.
And I would have been pissed off over that.
Okay, so we go to his WCW history. So.
So, but yeah, and then of course we got Stan Hansen. He's being inducted by Vader,
which I thought was kind of a funny one.
I kind of went, ha ha.
Did the guy knock your eye out during a match?
Well, the feuds between Stan Hansen and Vader in Japan are legendary. Yeah. So that's the connection that I made between the two.
No, according to Tim, that didn't happen.
What are you talking about?
We can only induct WWE history.
Oh, it's not what I was saying, and you know it, you picking on me person. Not much of an insult, but you get it.
Yeah.
Actually, the other one that I was thinking for Jacqueline as well was let's get Stevie Richards just for the right to censor.
Cute. There you go. So yeah, that's the WWE Hall of Fame class 2016 and the inductees and inductors. That being said, according to our little schedule thing here, it's time for the WrestleMania preview and pick 'em right after our second time out. Everybody, you're listening to WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Hey, it's everybody know that we're about to do pick 'em as soon as we come back. We'll be back right after this.
Three, two. Yeah, let me charm, baby. Yeah, brighter than this thing on my arm, baby. It's a party every time you come around, baby. Now, if you're down, baby, I can be the ground, baby. Hit me running. Ain't nothing looking better than when I see you coming. Ain't another feeling better than when I'm blowing money. You can tell that I'm a addict. I'm addicted to money. I'm addicted to bowling. I got the silver Patron. I bought a ticket to Rome. And by the end of the evening, never get a weekend. We won't even know what planet we on. Cause Monday, so many. God damn it. Tuesday, she wanna go up. Wednesday, I panic. I'm scrambling. Thursday,
can't catch a WTR program live? Well, we've got three easy ways for you to listen whenever you want. First, listen to the Wild Talk Radio Network on iTunes. Just head over to iTunes and search for Wild Talk Radio Network.
and subscribe to our feed. Secondly, download the Stitcher Radio app and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. And finally, just visit the archive section right here at wildtalkradio.com, and you can download every single episode of all your favorite programs. Best of all, it's free. Keep up to date and spread the word to your friends on how you can be part of the Wild Talk Radio Network listening experience.
Thursday nights, The Rack lays the smackdown on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Thursday.
Join me, Lindsay Ward, and my handyman producer, Sir Rockin, as we give you all the latest wrestling news, discussions, our reactions to both NXT and SmackDown, along with interviews with some of our favorite wrestling superstars.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar. What's up? This is WWE Superstar The Miz. This is Mr. Money in the Bank, the undisputed future of WWE, Seth Rollins.
This is Kane from WWE.
The future is now when you experience The Rack. Thursday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Thursday.
Out and about when your favorite WTR program is on the air? Don't worry, we've got you covered. You can listen to WTR on the go with TuneIn Radio. Just download the TuneIn Radio app for your Android or iPhone, iPad or tablet, and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. Best of all, it's free. What are you waiting for? Download the TuneIn Radio app today. Tune in to WTR, wherever you are.
Do you feel a little bit empty inside after The Rack goes off the air on Thursday nights? Well, don't fret, because The Rack has a little something extra for you, in the form of The Rack Extra. Join us as we review the weekly happenings with your favorite Total Divas. From start to finish, we give you our reactions to all the relationship drama, the infighting, and all the trips to the plastic surgeon's office. Join us as we get all up in that Kool-Aid of the Total Divas with The Rack Extra, weekly right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Trust me, it's simply dabomb.com.
I don't care what y'all say.
Hey, this is Trish Stratus, and you're listening to Wild Talk Radio Network. Keep listening, because Stratisfaction is guaranteed.
Welcome back, WTR, Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, streaming live simultaneously on the TuneIn app, free on your mobile device, and you listen to WTR Sunday Night anywhere you go, everywhere you go, when you can't listen to the show at your computer at home because you got things to do. Just download it, hit your Google Play, and type in TuneIn, free download. Search Wild Talk Radio Network. There we are. Click, boom, done.
Even if you're at home, you can put it on your iPhone, your Android phone, and just walk around with it, you know, in your ear.
Well, yeah, you can do that too. I mean, like, you know, you got to visit with the family, and you don't really want to. You just stick one earbud in there, kick it on, and
That picture's cute. Yeah.
What?
Man, you can't. Just in case that, you know, you don't want to be taken away from all of this exciting wrestling talk just because you need to poop.
There are days where I would rather talk to you guys than my family. That's my point.
Thank you for going elsewhere, Tim, because Omega just took
us. I know. He made a poop joke and I ignored it. Because the last thing I want to do is listen to Omega when I'm evacuating my bowels.
So too, Trent.
Thank you.
Well, it's kind of redundant because half the time you're full of shit.
Yes, but I get paid to be full of shit.
Oi. There you go.
Can I make the transition now?
I think you want us to transition back to WTR's WrestleMania Pick'em, don't you?
Well, I have an easy way to do that.
Welcome to WrestleMania!
It's not a transition.
That's an audio clip, not a transition. What the hell are you doing? Blah, 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 blah.
I don't know. I have the new clip.
Welcome to WrestleMania!
That's just funny sounding.
What WrestleMania was that from?
The first one.
Three.
Two.
Two?
Well,
two.
You surrounded it.
There you go.
There you go. Split the difference.
It couldn't escape.
One, three, two! Right down the middle.
Right down the middle. Because one had music behind it.
Okay, now, guys, here it is. We've got this big-ass prize for you to potentially win if you win Pick'em. And what it is, it's a new copy, as opposed to an old copy, of the new book, as opposed to an old book, Hustle, Loyalty, Respect, The World of John Cena. You can win the book if you win the WrestleMania Pick'em Challenge. And, of course, the book, thank you very much to DK Publishing for providing it. The rules are simple. If you get the most correct matches, you win. Boom.
Simple. Easy.
Ever. You can only enter once. One entry per person. Only residents of the United States and Canada are eligible to win the book. That's not true. If you live anywhere in the world, you're eligible to win the book. But if you live outside of North America, Puerto Rico, Mexico,
and
you win, yeah, and you win the book.
Puerto Rico, Mexico, we will ship to.
Outside of the continental United States, which means Hawaii is also in this caveat. Mm-hmm. If you live anywhere other than, you know, North America and stuff, you can win the book, but you pay for shipping. That's all there is to it.
You know, we're giving you a retail value USA price of $25 book, Canada $29, Australian $39.99, and the UK almost £18.
Wow, the Australian dollar must be doing pretty bad.
Are you really wanting to talk?
We're sitting at about 76 cents to the American dollar right now, which I believe is actually better than the Canadian. So
actually right now, you're 1 cent worse than we are at the moment. We actually made it to 77 cents, but that won't last.
Uh-huh.
By Wednesday, it'll probably be like 16 or some shit like that. Anyway.
I got you both feet. One US dollar is worth one US dollar here.
Oh, shut up, Omega, you bragger. Nobody likes a smart mouse, Gerlach. You'll never get that reference.
Anyway, the book is awesome, so enter the contest and you can win a copy of it. As Tim said, it is a big-ass prize because it is a big-ass book.
Yeah, and it's really, really, really easy to enter. All you got to do is join our official Facebook group, facebook.com/group/Wild Talk Radio Network. Post in the official WTR WrestleMania Pick'em Challenge post. All you got to do.
Which will be up tomorrow.
Yeah, you post pics on our Facebook pages, facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network, and facebook.com/RAC Radio Show. Now, you can also tweet your pics to at Wild Talk Radio or at RAC Radio Show. You can email your pics to media@WildTalkRadio.com. And one of these days, Rock is going to learn how to spell a part as opposed to being a part, which is defined as separate from.
All right, Grammar Nazi, continue.
There you go. Be part of our live show experience, which is like tonight, right now. Post your picks during our prediction segment in the chat room proper. Wait a second. Is our unpaid intern actually in the chat room?
No, so please don't put your picks in the chat room because the intern's not there.
The intern not being here, then he's not going to be able to see it. If he's listening in archive, maybe he'll record it then. If you call in and give it to us over the air, but we're not giving out the phone number, so you can't do that. So the best ways to do it, Facebook or
Twitter. But best way to do it, join the Facebook group because that's the best way we'll see it. Because if we do it on the other Facebook pages, we'll see the picks, but sometimes they can get lost. Facebook group, we won't lose your pick.
Yeah, you've got until 3:00 Eastern time Sunday of the day of WrestleMania to get your picks in. So here it is, practically 7 full days to participate. So get the word out there and let people know about it.
You have no excuse not to enter this contest.
Practically none whatsoever.
It's a book.
Unless you are John Cena.
Hey. Yeah, John Cena's not eligible to win.
No, but if John Cena wants to play Pick'em with us, he sure can.
Oh, yeah. Dude, call in. Give us your picks right now.
I mean, he's doing nothing else but hosting the Today Show tomorrow, so, you know, he has no WrestleMania plan, so call in, make him be a part of it.
Yeah, no, seriously, that'd be kind of neat if a member of the WWE roster actually called so they could play Pick'em for shits and giggles.
Yeah.
I don't want to win the book, but I want to play. Who the hell was that?
I have no idea who that was supposed to be, Tim.
It almost went Laurinaitis on me.
Congratulations to People Power. He married Mama Bella last week.
Mama Bella?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. You're kidding.
Nope. Nope.
It's a very, very weird wrestling family being formed right now.
So, in a way, he's related to Daniel Bryan now. And if John Cena ever put a ring on it, he would be related to John Cena.
Wow.
Yeah, they would be brother-in-law at that point.
Yep.
Wait a minute.
So it's 7 degrees of John Laurinaitis at this point.
Yeah.
They wouldn't be brothers-in-law.
No, they wouldn't be brothers-in-law, but...
Johnny would be...
stepfather-in-law?
Stepfather-in-law.
Well, no. I mean Cena and Bryan.
Cena and Bryan,
Cena and Bryan, brothers-in-law. Yeah, well, there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, but no... John Laurinaitis would be John Cena's stepfather-in-law.
And that's, yeah, there's just something funky about that, you know? Just something funky. Anyway.
This sounds like a badly booked storyline.
Yeah, no kidding. Those are the contest rules. Now let's get to WTR Pick'em. And let's start off with Hell in the Cell. Of course, we got The Undertaker versus Shane McMahon. And here's a really interesting stipulation that Vince threw in last Monday. If Taker loses, he basically is retired. No more competing at WrestleMania ever again. But if Shane wins, he gets control of Raw.
So, before you guys make your pick on this one. So, say Taker loses, right? He can no longer compete at WrestleMania. But say he entered next year's Royal Rumble. What happens? And he wins the Rumble. What happens? Does he not get his shot at WrestleMania?
It's called playing devil's that storyline never but, happened.
You're playing devil's advocate here, but I'm amused by it.
No, that whole scenario that he thought about, it's enough to make you go,
Things that make you go,
Exactly.
Well, it's interesting. It's an interesting idea. I give you that.
They
could pull a Cena and go, no, you get your title shot now.
They could. But, you know, it's a what-if game. What if that happens?
Interesting. Yeah. Definitely interesting, yeah. So, Hell in the Cell, who wins, Omega?
I will admit, I like the stipulation addition.
Uh-huh.
Not only does it play to all the internet rumors that Taker was planning to retire at the Dallas Mania as it is.
Yep.
It also puts this huge question mark on the match. Because as it is, it was, well, do things stay the same, or is Shane actually sticking around to actually be a character and run Raw? And we didn't know that for sure. I think a lot of people are hoping for that because you're getting so tired of the authority angle.
Mm-hmm.
I'm honestly hoping for that because I'm sick of the authority angle. At the same time, at WrestleMania, Shawn Michaels retired Ric Flair. The Undertaker retired Shawn Michaels. The Undertaker gets retired by Shane McMahon? Really? I mean, technically not retired. Like, the way they worded it, it was his last WrestleMania.
Yeah, barred
it's
from
a
ever...
very carefully worded statement.
Barred from ever competing again at WrestleMania.
But, you know, that's the one show a year he's guaranteed to work, so it essentially is retirement. That's how our brains are taking this in right now.
Oh, yeah, without question. Because it's just weird because then they promote it, you know, he's working 5 days in the UK in about 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So.
It's a very interesting twist to the match. It plays to the smarks on the internet. I actually kind of applaud that part of it. Right now I'm still giving it to Shane. I don't know how, but the authority has been done for so long in the WWE. It's changed so many times for injury and storyline. It is not what it used to be. And meanwhile, we have evil Stephanie McMahon doing philanthropy work on the outside of the ring. We have Triple H, who is a villain on Raw and then turn around on NXT, and he's you know, he's the father figure who built this new amazing thing. I don't know, like, I don't think the authority is relevant or needed anymore. I think it's time to do away with it. And if Taker wants to ride off into the sunset, he can do it. Like, he can do it at, you know, like a SummerSlam or a Survivor Series. He can do it at another big event and call it, you know, call it a career.
So you rather take the change of authority rather than the constant of Taker winning at WrestleMania?
At this point, yeah. Keep in mind, I was actually kind of a proponent of him, of Brock winning at Mania, because it's interesting. It tells a story, you know, and this, again, I want something that tells a story, because at this point, if Shane loses, nothing changes whatsoever. You know, the landscape of the WWE is identical to what it is right now.
And they've pushed it so hard on TV that something has to change.
All right, fair enough. So there's one for Shane. Mace.
The way that they've got all this worded, it's just one of those damned if you do, damned if you don't situations.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I'm not going to sit here for 5 minutes giving you a million and one reasons. Basically, Omega said exactly the same thing that I would say anyway. So, yeah, Shane McMahon. Because we need change. We need a Barack Obama up in this bitch. We need change. And then never actually get it.
Well, this one is a conundrum, because I think this is one of the very few times in the entire run of The Undertaker where you've got just about as many people cheering for the opponent as you do cheering for Taker. Really, seriously.
It goes back to Taker Shawn, where everyone was on the fence either way.
Yeah. The only time you ever see some kind of a stipulation, if you lose, you're done, is when the guy's retiring. So it you know, is Vince McMahon trolling all of these smart marks with that? Or is this just another way of working it in for his retirement? You know?
Mm-hmm.
Shane, when you look at Shane, there's no way in hell he survives against Taker, never mind beats him. On paper.
The whole thing with the addition of the Taker stipulation, it sounds reactionary.
No.
It's like as soon as this match got announced and, you know, it's Shane can win Raw, everybody's like, okay, here's a million and one ways that we could have Shane look legit in winning this match through, you know, swerves, shenanigans, whatever. And Vince has pretty much gone, fuck. They pretty much worked it out. Quick, let's throw something else in there to try and make it look like a more even matchup.
So, basically, it's a red herring in your opinion.
Pretty much.
Yeah, and I can see that happening as a red herring, too. Because Shane controls Raw, and Vince even said it, so if you control Raw, then you're gonna control WWE. So this stipulation, Shane could find a way around it, and Taker can wrestle at next year's, WrestleMania. If Shane's still around and running Raw. And therefore WWE. This is almost as terrible as trying to figure out time travel paradoxes.
As long as you kill the original, it's okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Shit. My head says one thing, my heart says the other, and I'm gonna make it unanimous and say Shane wins. I've come up with like three different scenarios where it's valid and doesn't hurt Undertaker to have Shane win at WrestleMania.
Okay. Which would be what?
Well, we've covered that ad infinitum, and they all involve interference. One of them is Shane and Vince are actually in on it in the background. Shane doesn't change allegiance and become a bad guy to replace the authority with a new heel leadership, but Vince being tired of the authority and some of the stuff going on. Instead of, like, you know, in the real world, we're just going to replace you with somebody else and consider this your walking paper. Here's your severance. No. I'm going to go behind your back and actually side with your brother. So, you know,
Which would make the entire build up to this match absolutely pointless.
Absolutely. Well, yeah, then again, it's WWE logic, Mace. Don't confuse that with real logic. You know better.
Oh, but yeah.
At the same time, you've got the Wyatts coming in to do Vince's dirty work, but they turn and actually beat down Undertaker against Vince's wishes, which gives Shane the win. And then another one where Undertaker – you see, all of these – every scenario involves Undertaker getting ambushed one way or the other.
Because and no one can really positively think Shane can beat Taker clean.
Yeah, and, you know, that being said, I'm going to make it unanimous. I'm picking Shane.
All right, I'll read the next match because, you know. Anyway, WWE Championship is on the line. Triple H. He has a thing that I'm not allowed to say on the show.
Stop it. It's not a thing. It's a thing only in your head. Shut up.
It's completely
don't
a thing.
Care about your fanfic, Rock.
But you should.
Go to the EWA zone and start typing up in the forum.
I know. Go to taking off. anyway. Triple H versus Roman Reigns. WWE title. Before I ask you guys your picks on this one.
Reigns.
Before I
Everybody says Reigns, move on.
No.
Yes, Reigns, move on.
No, I want to throw this out there. You have the next match we're going to talk about is a street fight. They have a Hell in a Cell. Every year, Triple H gets screwed because he builds this intense feud. Go back to Randy Orton, where he limits himself with a stipulation in this match.
So you expect a stipulation tomorrow night?
No, I'm just saying he has to top a street fight in a Hell in a Cell, and he's handcuffed by just a generic match.
Oh, he's
I thought he had an ODQ going for this one.
Okay, no. Mike. No.
This is just a straight up win by pinfall.
Pinfall or submission. So unless they change it on Raw, they could. But I'm just saying, if you go back to WrestleMania 25, was it? Where he fought Randy Orton. He had to follow the Taker Shawn thing, and he put in a if you get disqualified, you lose the title stipulation, so he couldn't do anything, you know, hardcore in his match. It's just interesting how his matches get booked on these shows. That's all. That was the point I was trying to make. So, everyone says Roman?
Yeah, Roman, move on.
Okay. No Holds Barred Street Fight. Brock Lesnar and Dean Ambrose.
Woohoo!
What's your thought process, Mace, on this one?
Fascinating.
This is going to be a...
Oh,
yeah, sorry.
It's going to be fun.
It's going to be a spectacular car crash. That's pretty much, this is just going to be, this is my match of WrestleMania. Like, this is the one I want to see and actually care about. Only because I know for, like, Dean's going to be taking crazy bumps, Brock's going to be throwing him around like a rag doll, and it's just going to be one of those great car crash matches that everybody's just going to be going ape shit for. I'm just going to go with Brock taking it, only because I could see Dean's risk-taking nature to backfire on him on this one.
Is this Dean Ambrose's breakout moment? Oh, my God.
That's actually a tough call, because Dean's one of those guys where you're waiting for him to have some kind of breakout moment, something that shows, yeah, this is it, this is his time, he's ready. And then, it doesn't quite happen, but, hey, maybe next time?
I don't know, combine this with his match, at Roadblock with Triple H, and we're pretty much hitting that moment territory.
We're getting there. Yes.
But will it matter if he loses?
Honestly, I think it does. Like, if he's ever gonna have credibility, you can't have him go in there. Well, he couldn't beat Brock and he couldn't beat Triple H, so he's never gonna be the top of the game. He's never gonna be top of the pile. Honestly, I have him winning this match.
Do you now?
I do. I will admit, long shot. I think I can come up with more ways Shane can beat Undertaker than more ways than Ambrose can beat Lesnar. I think it comes down to, Ambrose is too stupid to stay down. I think it's just going to be sheer level of punishment he can endure that lets him beat Brock.
He's a cockroach. He just never goes away. Okay. All right, Tim, where's your heart lying on this one?
Well, you asked Omega if this will be Ambrose's breakout match. I have to, you know, because Mace actually brought it up. I have to say his breakout match was Roadblock against Triple H. He beat Triple H and didn't get the title because his foot was under the rope. He looked like $1 million against Triple H, even though he lost. The booking for that match was absolutely spectacular. And he showed, thanks to the selling that Triple H did for him, he showed that he can hang with, quote-unquote, the big dogs. And he is an A-plus player. To me, that was his breakout match. This is his elevation match. Now, for believability, as somebody who has talked about what are we going to do to make this guy look like he can actually beat somebody 3,000 times his size, it takes me back to a series of matches that we had in Canadian All-Pro. And we had a 125-pound guy wrestling a 400-pound guy. And the 125-pound guy won, and the crowd believed it. And the no-holds-barred street fight is one of maybe two, possibly three different types of matches that would favor a victory by Ambrose over Lesnar. In a straight-up in the ring, no, forget it. I couldn't see it, and if it happened, I wouldn't buy it or believe it. But something like this, all it takes is, God damn it, oh, geez, a barbed wire wrapped baseball bat, just for an example.
Or a chainsaw cutting off a limb.
Or a chainsaw, you know. That's all it would take for Dean Ambrose to get the upper hand on Brock and actually get the 1-2-3 and shut Paul Heyman up for 5 minutes. And that would be a bad thing because Heyman talking is gold. But because of the stipulation, I just see this being Ambrose's elevation match, and I see Ambrose coming out on top with the victory over Brock Lesnar. And when you stop and you think about it, what will that do for Dean Ambrose? He beats the guy that beat the streak.
Juggernaut. He beats the unbeatable. Like, he moves the mountain.
Yep.
Which they've always wanted Roman Reigns to do.
And that ain't happening.
So he becomes the one that beat the one in 21-1?
Yes.
Yep.
Well, that, yeah, 22-1 now, yes.
Well, it was 21-1 when he got beat, so he's the one who beats the one that beat the one who's the one in 21-1? What? I know, it's confusing.
I think your math's out there, Tim.
Where's my pencil?
Someone get Scott Steiner.
As you can see, 9,000% is 100% of what I can give. What? Shut up.
So, Dean Ambrose is your
winner? I've got to pick Dean. I can't say no, especially because of the match it is.
He's got 144 2/3 chance of winning.
Yep, there it is.
So, before we move on to the next match, what hardcore legend gives Dean Ambrose a weapon tomorrow?
I really want Perry Saturn to give him a mop.
Moppy.
It's like he gets this barbed wire baseball bat, he gets a chainsaw, here's Perry Saturn, goes, here's a mop.
Well, I'll tell you one hardcore.
I'm calling Edge and Christian tomorrow night. Give him a couple of chairs.
Concerto.
It has to be like a signature weapon.
Bingo. Yeah, for those two, the concerto. And the fact that Edge was at one time the co-holder of the Hardcore Championship with Mick Foley that had the match at WrestleMania, blah, 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 blah.
Look at Edge and Christian. But it's just a chair. It's gotta be something unique. You know, like.
Well, stop and think. All of the hardcore, like, think back to the hardcore title and then expand from WWE. What were some signature weapons?
Steve Blackman and his nunchucks.
Nunchucks.
I was gonna say Crash Holly and his weight scale, but he's not around.
Yeah, Crash isn't around.
And if it wasn't their current, we're not going to do this gimmick, I probably would have gone the Dudley Boys giving him a table.
You can always have Dreamer give him a table and maybe show him how to light it on fire.
Dreamer would give him a kendo stick. That seems a little weak compared to a fucking chainsaw.
That's why I said a flaming table.
Yeah.
What, so you're going to have somebody walk out with a Tommy gun or a nuclear missile? Because we have to keep increasing the threat level?
Yeah. The thing is...
CM Punk came out with a Tommy gun once upon a time.
The thing is, with Tommy Dreamer and the kendo stick, you could also put Sandman in there.
Tommy Dreamer is more recognized, and he's worked with WWE more recently.
Yes, this is true. This is true.
Wow.
This is a lot.
Have RVD give him a bong? I don't know.
Ooh, trash can.
Again, that's a step down from chainsaw.
After
chainsaw. New Jack walks out.
Oh, I got it. I got it. Rikishi gives him a car.
Hacksaw Jim Duggan gives him a 2x4. Did anybody have a hatchet? Or an axe?
Regal did. Regal did. The real man's man. William Regal.
Yeah. It was man's man.
Hold on. If Regal's giving the hatchet, then he's also got to give over the flannel shirt, too.
So I'm trying to think. Because I could have made the joke that Mountie had one, but the Mountie didn't have one. Mm-hmm. Regal did.
Anyway. So that's the only thing that I could see that would be on the same level as the goddamn chainsaw.
Oh, crap.
The outlaws roll up a dumpster for him. No?
Okay. Duke the dumpster drove him with the trash can.
No, I'm trying to add on to Mace's thing, but they've already pulled out Funk and Foley, so
Brutus Beefcake with a giant pair of scissors.
Well, they did just recently speak to Beefcake.
Did they hardcore?
Shawn Michaels comes out and gives him the old Heartbreak Hotel set. No, wait, that was the barbershop, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Fuck! I picked the wrong segment. Okay, whatever.
Yeah. No one's giving him a coconut. One's dead and the other's in jail.
Well, technically he's not in jail. He cannot comprehend jail. Anyway, moving on. Divas Championship is on the line. Charlotte, Becky Lynch, and Sasha Banks. Tim, what's your thought process?
Well, because it's a three-way, it's a way of getting the belt on Sasha without making Charlotte look bad because she doesn't have to take the pinfall to lose the belt. And if they've got as much invested in Charlotte as they apparently do, possibly thanks to her dad, Rick, I could see Sasha Banks coming out victorious on this one. It's either Sasha or Charlotte retains. And right now, it's a coin toss. Heads, it's one, tails, it's the other. And look at that. I'm picking Sasha Banks.
Mace, what's your thought?
Boss.
That's two for Banks. Omega.
You know, if they would just let the NXT bookers do this, if they just let them wrestle an NXT-style match, this could actually steal the show. Like, legitimately.
I wrote something on our website, wildtalkradio.com. Give them 20 minutes. And let them go.
Give them 20 minutes and let them do what made them popular in the first place. And you've got a WrestleMania match. As for winner...
They could do the surprising moment and have Becky win. They could.
They could, but good lord, Sasha's so, like... she's got so much going for her with the crowd right now.
She's primed and ready to go.
Sasha's gonna win this.
In the match everyone is looking forward to at WrestleMania, the United States Championship match, Kalisto versus Ryback, Omega.
The concession stands. Oh, actual winner?
An actual winner, yes.
Ah.
Well, if you pick concession stands, that means Ryback wins because Feed Me More.
Stretch.
Very much so.
That means Lesnar wins because Dean's favorite weapons are all gone.
True.
That'd be hysterical on Monday Night Raw. He comes out. I got in chainsaws, kendo sticks, steel chairs, barbed wire baseball bats. You know what I need? You know what? The only thing I've ever needed is sprays a ketchup bottle in Lesnar's face.
Hey, it worked against Seth Rollins.
There we go. We can have Maven give over a popcorn machine.
No, that wasn't his weapon. That's just what he became part of that night.
You just still have Maven lying in the popcorn machine.
Ah, jeez.
Is this matchup not really important?
Of course it's not important. It's Ryback.
This was literally a match that was thrown because we need to have all our titles on the show, even though we're not having the tag team belts on. And Tim, stop playing your drumsticks.
How'd you know it was my drumsticks?
Because we could hear them.
Because we could hear them, and I know the sounds of two drumsticks hitting against each other.
Heard them again.
Yeah, but now I'm banging my knee with them instead of each other.
Anyway, have we stalled long enough for Omega to make a pick?
Make a damn pick.
No, well, the pick is Kalisto. But the question was, is this a pointless match? Yes. Yes, it is.
Okay. Mace.
Lucha, 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 lucha.
Tim.
El Generico.
That's a different
match. No, he's later in the show.
Oh! Samurai del Sol.
There you go. Right in the masked name. There you go.
Yeah. Kalisto.
Kalisto. It's that time again for the third annual Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal featuring the Social Outcast, Tyler Breeze, Big Show, and Kane, and more! 20 men on the pre-show. On the
so
USA
you know
Network.
It's important.
On the USA Network.
You know it's real important.
Yeah.
My God.
Hey, it was on
this
the pre-show.
This legitimately had, like, a potential to replace, like, Money in the Bank as just like, this is a big spectacle thing for, I don't know, for someone to win at WrestleMania. And no, pre-show. Shove people out there, give them a paycheck, and send them home.
1 year ago, there was a clear-cut winner who should win. He did not win. Maybe he'll even get into this match. That's Damian Sandow.
God.
Think about that. Think about where we were a year ago with him.
They could have pushed him to the moon.
With one win.
And now he's not even in the social outcasts.
So, Omega, who wins the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal?
Honestly, I don't care now. You just got me really depressed all of a sudden.
Sorry. Sorry about that.
God, it's really hard because it's 20 people and we don't even have half of them.
We have 7. Will the Wyatt family be in this match?
I would assume because there's no other announcements.
I was looking at the roster earlier. It's like, can they get 20? Because you think about it, you get Sandow, you put a couple Wyatts in there, you can put the Ascension in there, maybe Goldust and R-Truth.
You know the only other thing you could do with the Wyatts, and it'd be a nice little thing.
What's that?
Is if at the Hall of Fame you induct Sting and he does announce his retirement.
Mm-hmm.
See, they get the Hall of Famers out there for the rundown, you know, your class of 2016. You know, when Sting, you know, when they get done, Sting walks to the ramp. Walks down the ramp, gets in the ring, and delivers, like, an official retirement speech.
You're the Wyatt.
And as soon as he's about to walk away, lights go out, Titantron flares up, Wyatts walk out, and, you know, you can protect him like hell. I mean, you've got guys in the Hall of Fame this year that could feasibly offer some backup against the Wyatts. You know, like the Godfather, for instance, and actually make like a send off thing. You know, it's Sting versus Bray Wyatt impromptu thing, and let Sting get a win.
You could. Okay, that was a great idea.
Not gonna happen. No, they'll be in
this battle royal.
No, Luke and Braun will be in it, but I don't think Bray will be.
Luke's hurt.
No, I meant Eric.
Eric.
To this day, I get them screwed up when I'm just
thinking
names.
How?
I don't know.
One's a Fred Ginger. Come on. Anyway.
Just to throw out a winner just for shits and giggles, Heath Slater. Because I honestly think it's that much of a joke at this point. I think it's something they would lout around forever. I can imagine Heath coming out to the ring with the other three social outcasts hauling the trophy down every match. Like he's some kind of goddamn big deal now.
I can see it.
Of course, I'm always booking those guys in far better storylines on this show, so who knows?
All right. Mace.
When you talk about the Wyatts, I remember seeing something on Saturday. An issue of WWE Superstars comic that had the Wyatts on it, signed by all three of them, and I almost bought it just to rub it in Lindsay's face, but, yeah, it's $50. That being said, I'm going to go with Bray's brother. I'm going to go with Bo Dallas.
Tim
Kane.
All right. The battle for tag team supremacy. The New Day versus League of Nations in a 4-on-3 handicap match. Mace.
New Day gets a WrestleMania moment.
Tim.
I can see League of Nations winning and doing the free bird rule with making it 4 instead of 3.
There is none. Tim, they took off the tag team title stipulation.
Yeah.
It's just a 4-on-3.
Oh, just 4-on-3? Well,
it's a battle for tag team supremacy.
You know, for tag team supremacy, reading that, and I'm thinking, oh, it's for the title. It's not for the titles, League of Nations.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, the only sense to me that they would take off the tag teams, like, for starters, it is weird enough that four guys were going against three guys to hold two belts.
We're back on the math subject again.
Yeah, I'm still waiting for them to just like, at this point, just make a fucking third belt so Xavier doesn't look like their goddamn manager. But besides that, the only reason I can think of them taking off that stipulation is if they wanted to have the League of Nations potentially win this. And I could see that happening to give both of them something to do, especially now that you have, you know, the New Day who would be newly face in this feud. Like, officially face now, not just, hey, everyone likes them. No, I'm going League.
When I say Oos, you say O. They take on the Dudley Boys. Tim.
Dudley Boys have been getting the upper hand like crazy leading up into this. The Usos win.
This, by the way, is on the pre-show, so people are aware. Omega. I mean, the Dudley Boys are coming back, and they don't want to be in the Nostalgia Act, but Does that mean they get their WrestleMania win? Because they don't want to be that nostalgia act, they need a big win to actually
We don't want to give anyone nostalgia. We need to lose at Mania.
Right. It's like, to make them actually relevant, do they actually get their WrestleMania win? So they can be taken more seriously in the tag division?
It's the Dudley Boys. It's one of those things where, they've got such a legacy to them, I don't think you can take their credit away from them. Being the pre-show, I'd probably say Usos.
Okay. We'll come back to this one in a minute when Mace returns. The Intercontinental Championship ladder match. Well, he's back
now. Wait, he's back.
I saw that, Tim. The Usos, Dudley Boys, Mace.
Dudley's.
Okay. Intercontinental Championship ladder match. Kevin Owens defends the belt against Sami Zayn, Dolph Ziggler, The Miz, Zack Ryder, Sin Cara, and Stardust Omega.
Oh god, there's such a part of me that wants Zack to win. It will not happen, but oh my god, it would be hysterical.
He mentioned on Twitter he's like 20,000 DZ Zack Ryder stickers still at his father's house from when he was trying to be relevant years and years ago.
Jeez.
I can't even remember the last time Zack Ryder won a match that didn't involve Mojo Rawley on NXT.
Yeah, he wins on main event, but no one ever sees it.
No, because they took it off the network because of overseas stuff.
Yeah. Damn licensing issues.
Yeah, I know. I actually enjoyed main event when it was on the network.
Can't keep having faces win, but it's WrestleMania.
It is WrestleMania. Last year, as we discussed last night, Omega, this match was the hot potato leading up to it. This time around, you actually have a champion who actually gets to hold his belt. And it's Kevin Owens. This is his first WrestleMania. Where does that factor in? Do you let him keep it? Or do you put it on? Putting it on a guy like Ziggler, does that do anything for Ziggler?
You kidding me?
I'm just saying. I'm trying to eliminate choices. Like Ziggler, you can't possibly put it on him.
Trust me. Like, the me who saw Zack Ryder rise in popularity all on his own by his own efforts and charisma alone really wants him to get a proper reward for it. I tuned into SmackDown just to see if he got to point to the WrestleMania sign, and he did, and I kind of marked a little bit. Because I'm still so pissed off that's still one of the biggest balls they ever dropped. But realistically, there are only two possible winners to this whole match, and it's Kevin Owens or Sami Zayn. And they are... The heavy feud going into this is Owens and Zayn. Right now, I'm still giving so many of these wins to faces. Right now, I would say the only, I need to flip a coin between these two. Because either one, it's a first WrestleMania. Either one, it's a first WrestleMania win for a title. But that's the feud that's going to come out of this. So, I'm going to say Owens, but it's going to have shenanigans. Zayn's gonna come like within a fingertip of winning the match, and then Owens is gonna fuck him over.
Mace.
I'll go with whoever's healthy.
Careful, we still got a week to go.
Exactly. And supposedly reports coming out of a WWE live tour event.
He's fine.
The Miz is fine.
We've confirmed
that the Miz survived.
Turns out he can act.
Well, that's good then, because I was getting worried for a second that this was the cursed match where everybody's going to be injured before they even reach it.
This whole show is cursed. Everything leading up to this Mania, every long-term plan they made completely went wrong. This is the Mania where the injured list is a better roster than the active one who will be wrestling.
Yeah, pretty much. But that being said, I expect Sami Zayn to get like so close and to get screwed over by Kevin Owens, and Owens retains this easily, and we get Sami Zayn versus Kevin Owens for the next few months, which would be like probably one of the only interesting feuds to happen on Raw.
Thankfully, we did not have to
#blamebrent.
The Miz Did not have to do that this week, thankfully. Tim.
It's such a squishy noise.
What was wrong with The Miz?
He was selling his ankle from an ankle lock, and people thought, oh my god, he has an injured ankle.
Oh, so he can't act.
Welcome to 2 minutes ago, Jim.
Yeah, I did that on purpose because Mace actually basically echoed exactly what I was going to say. Kevin Owens is going to win, but it's going to lead to a several-month-long feud between him and Sami Zayn. Sami chasing the title, getting the fans behind him before he finally gets the belt, which he will probably by SummerSlam.
So basically everyone has said the same thing about this match.
Yes.
Okay.
That was the point that I made.
Expected to be at it tomorrow night on Monday Night Raw, Chris Jericho versus AJ Styles.
AJ Styles.
He had to work his drumsticks back into the show. Tim.
Yes.
That's your pick?
This is the second match I'm looking forward to on this card. The other one is the No Holds Barred Street Fight. This is the other one. And I think that they're really going to be given a good time for this one. And, yeah, Chris has had his run. He's had his day. There's no reason for him to win. It's not going to do him any good. And he's going to be gone shortly after WrestleMania to get back on tour with Fozzy. Blah, 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 blah. Do this, do that, do the other thing. The only benefit for AJ Styles is winning. So it's AJ Styles.
How surreal is...
Surreal
is it Omega that AJ Styles is working WrestleMania?
I can't, God, there's so many guys on this roster. I can't believe are working WrestleMania this year.
Kevin Owens.
We got Kevin Steen, El Generico, and, you know, and AJ Styles are on WrestleMania this year. You know, the three big divas of NXT are working WrestleMania this year. It's
amazing.
It is. It truly is. I'm not, okay, so while these guys put on incredible matches, they've already put on three incredible matches. And I, no doubt they're going to top themselves. But that said, I've seen this match three times. They're going to have to work very hard to top what they've done. I have no doubt they will give it that absolute best effort they can to accomplish it. If Chris Jericho ends up winning, well, one, yeah, he's a part-timer, and it's not going to do anything for him. But B, it's going to mean their series is tied at 2-2 again, and I don't think they're going to put this match on a fifth time. This is the end. This is the end of the feud. There really isn't any other direction they can go with it. The only outcome that makes any kind of sense is for AJ to go over.
There was, at one point, an idea for them to do a best-of-seven series. This was a month or so ago, before they did the whole tag team thing. Mace.
Yeah, it's going to be AJ Styles just to, you know, get the new kid over. But this is going to be something that, like Omega said, they're really going to have to pull out something magical to impress us. But then again, we've seen these guys a couple of times already, and they've done good jobs. So I reckon they can do it.
And then it's either going to be 5-on-5 or 4-on-4, depending on the amount of divas you can find. As I guess it's Team Total Divas versus Team Anti-Divas, or Anti-Total Divas. You have Paige, Brie Bella, Alicia Fox, and Natalya. Maybe with a partner, taking on Naomi, Tamina, Summer Rae, and Emma, and possibly Lana to make it 5-on-5. Tim.
Team Total Divas.
Mace.
Yep, Team Total Divas gotta promote that show, because it's failing in the ratings, supposedly.
Omega.
I hate this match. I hate the WrestleMania matches that are just, hey, look at all the tits we have on the roster. Look at them. There's no meaning for this match. There's no purpose for this match. There's no point to this match. It is just, hey, look at all the women we pay. And I wish there was more to it than that. I wish there was value to this match. So, like I said it, like, that's my dream scenario is if this match had any kind of value or credit of any kind whatsoever, This would be such an amazing way of bringing Bayley up as the mystery fifth, you know, the same way Daniel Bryan was on Team Cena, but there's no value in doing that here. None whatsoever.
Which means Eva Marie could be the fifth.
Fuck you. It's the face team. It's a total diva team, yes, but it's also a face team, even though Paige seems to flip more often than Big Show.
By the way, Rock, corner of shame.
I'm just going off the total divas. It can't be Rosa Mendez. She just gave birth.
That's the thing.
Corner of shame.
That is the thing, though. Like, unless they bring somebody up from NXT, unless this is, like, a weird way of debuting Bayley of all ways to do it, I don't know any other divas they can bring up. Like, I don't know who else shows up to make this an even match.
Which is why I get the feeling it'll be 4-on-4. You keep Lana as the manager, and you get Nikki to be the manager on the other side.
I don't know. She just got permission to only partially wear her neck brace.
She could stand there for 5 minutes on the
pre-show. I don't know, like, especially as paranoid and injury-prone, as injury-conscious as WWE is, if you even risk her accidentally getting hit.
Anyway, who you got?
it's gonna be Team Total Diva. It's gonna be the face team.
Okay. So that's the WrestleMania card in a hole.
It's in a hole. That's an interesting way.
In the hole, yeah. We really want to give away this John Cena book. So we've got a couple of tiebreakers just to do everything we can to make sure we have one winner and no ties.
So here are the two questions. The first one, will the Hell in a Cell get its own theme entrance similar to WrestleMania 28? Mace?
Yes, it'll come down and walked out through the entryway. It'll get its own set of pyro. It'll get its own theme music and video package. It's whole new Titantron. a series of dancers. It'll rock up in a tank followed by F-16s.
Jimmy Hart will be managing it.
Jimmy Hart's doing the managing. And then it's going to take its own bumps off the top of itself through a table.
Somebody's being a
and
smart...
then it's going to blow a quad.
And it's all Rock's fault.
And your point is what?
No, I believe that's a blame Brent, isn't it?
No, blame Brent is the injury, yeah. Anyway, so you say it will have an entrance?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, it will have its entrance.
Omega will have an entrance, a theme entrance.
A theme entrance, not just a dun 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 dun.
See, that's the thing I was talking about, Rock.
I know that's what you were talking about. I know, that does not count. Because they had the Metallica song.
That's a sound effect on loop. That's not an entrance.
That's not a special entrance like WrestleMania 28, where they had the Metallica song play after Taker revealed his hair. Yes or no?
No.
Tim?
Nope.
Better question. Who will The Rock perform the Rock Bottom on at WrestleMania? Omega?
I know you're starting with me because you gave me a heads up of what this might be. I still don't know. I'm, like, legitimately looking through the roster right now going, who the fuck, who the fuck, who the fuck?
I'll come back to you. Tim.
Triple H.
Mace.
Vinnie Mac.
Omega.
God damn you people and your fast answers. Their new site loads like a goddamn iPhone. It takes forever to get through.
Here's the thing, Omega. You have until Sunday at 3 p.m. Eastern to make up your mind on what the answer will be.
It's on the show now, though.
I was giving you an out.
I know you're giving me an out. I don't want it. Fuck you, I'll give you as much dead air as I want to looking over this little roster.
All right, everyone put their feet
full
up.
Full of injured people that I can't pick.
All right, we're going to be here for a while. Put your feet up.
I'll just do this.
It can't be anyone's social outcast because that's just, he's not going to waste his time. And it's The Rock. He's got creative control. You know, the way you say it that way, I kind of expect, you know, I wouldn't be surprised to see it as a McMahon. And you know what? Guys, it's not much of a tiebreaker because we agree, but I think Triple H makes the most sense.
Okay, there you go. So that's WrestleMania Pick'em. Again, be a part of the Facebook group, facebook.com/group/WildTalkRadioNetwork. Best way to enter the contest. You have until Sunday at 3 p.m. Eastern to get your picks in. We'll have full details. They're available right now on wildtalkradio.com. You can check out the Facebook pages as well. Again, you can win a copy of Hustle, Loyalty, Respect, The World of John and Cena from DK Publishing. With that said, I think it's time for the all-time greatest.
Who's the man? Huh? Who's the man?
It's time for another WTR original.
I am the greatest.
All-time greatest.
Well, whoopsie freaking do!
Help us decide what the greatest intro, submission move, or even the greatest title run ever truly is.
I hope I score.
Interact with us in the real-time chat and find out who or what will end up being the all-time greatest.
DX and the NWO appear during the Triple H Sting match at WrestleMania 31, where Bret Hart pulls double duty at WrestleMania 10. Omega.
Double duty's fine, but good lord, DX and NWO, you know, I don't care how far it is out of their prime, it was the two biggest teams of that big era of wrestling that I always wanted to see go at it, and they went at it, and I don't care if it was, I don't care if half of them are on Social Security now. It was awesome.
All right, it's one for DX and then NWO. Mace.
Yeah, nostalgia. So DX versus NWO because nostalgia.
Tim.
Yeah, I'll go Bret Hart pulling double duty. It was a bigger deal. It really was.
Outvoted. Right. Suck it.
Oh, you suck it, sucker.
Hulk Hogan body slams the 10,000-pound Andre the Giant, or Shawn Michaels retires Ric Flair. Mace.
Shawn Michaels killing Old Yeller. It's just a great emotional moment. And, you know, it doesn't require exaggeration to get over.
Omega.
The body slam in front of 873,000 people. Actually, no. Because, for starters, that while that moment is enormous in pro wrestling, it's a total farce because Andre had been slammed numerous times before. And yeah, it's difficult because that is by all stretches of imagination, like the biggest moment in wrestling, not from a fanboy point of view, but from a historical point of view, you know, because arguably that's when the industry was made. Mm-hmm. It was that feud, that build. That moment. That said, let's make this interesting. Fuck it. It was Shawn putting down Rick. Because it was a legitimate moment. It was legitimately emotional. You know, and it was not only done in a beautiful way, but like genuinely heartbreaking. You know, from the Heartbreak Kid.
Yep. All right, Tim.
Yeah, both of these win for different reasons, for different eras, for different whatever, but you can't have both of them winning. I mean, Hogan Andre, that sold more than just that one pay-per-view. That sold a hell of a lot more. It was so hyped up that people who didn't care about wrestling were interested. It actually was the cusp of professional wrestling hitting the mainstream, which happened with rock and wrestling. You know, that being said, its importance in the history of wrestling, professional wrestling, you're not supposed to look outside of kayfabe. Omega, smarten up with the Andre being body slammed numerous times. Stop that. You know better.
I'm sorry for remembering shit.
Well, there you go. This one's a lot more difficult. Just from, you know, like the, just the way that you should look at both of these matches. This one's a lot more difficult than you guys make it seem. That being said, I've got to just edge the tiniest little bit, Michaels retires Flair.
All right. So Shawn.
Barely
moves on. Speaking of Shawn, he gets
unanimously.
Speaking of Shawn, he gets retired by The Undertaker, or Icon versus Icon, Hulk Hogan versus The Rock. Tim.
Icon versus Icon, Hogan versus The Rock. That was monumental. That was huge. That was just, that was not The Rock and Hulk Hogan. That was the fans. That was just one of the most incredible moments. But the match itself sucked ass. Really, wasn't that great. Shawn Michaels, Undertaker, the retirement match, the rematch 1 year later, so emotionally invested in that, thanks to Shawn Michaels, he pulled you in, whether you were a fan of Michaels or not. You got sucked right into the entire story of that match. And it was off the hook at the same time. Michaels' retirement match wins.
Omega.
No, I have been reminded many times it's not about the history. It's not about the legacy. It's not what it led to. It is about the moment in this list. That said, what made Rock and Hogan magical was not the quality of the match. It was the audience. It was the emotion that went into it. It was seeing Hogan at WrestleMania again. You know, the event he made famous, the event that he, by all rights, deserves to call home. You know, that's such ingrained in pro wrestling. It's such ingrained in his legacy, in WrestleMania's legacy. That is Hulk Hogan's event. You know, I don't care who you call Mr. WrestleMania. I don't care what your streak is. That's Hulk Hogan's event. And seeing him with The Rock, it's not about how good the match was, because the match was only as good as Hogan could deliver at that point in his career. Which, admittedly, it only kind of went downhill from there. So, seeing Shawn and Taker, it's a far better match. And, of course, it's emotional. It's the last time we saw Shawn. Watching the match, we didn't know it was the last time we were seeing Shawn. You know, it did bring up a lot of emotions when he did lose, same way as Flair did. I don't think it was the same, like, magical, amazing moment when he retired Flair. Emotional, yes, not to that point. And while the match itself was absolutely amazing, you know, it's another one of those things where it was a match I had already seen. So on that sense, it did have one element working against it. But in the moment, for that moment, Rock and Hogan, you couldn't have gotten a crowd more excited. You could not at any point in the industry gotten a crowd more excited during a match than seeing those two at WrestleMania face to face. And then to see, like, the honest to God redemption of Hulk Hogan. You know, not as, oh, well, not in WCW where, well, he's coming out in the red and yellow again, but to truly see not only him turn against what he had become, but also for the fans to take him back the way they did. That's what makes the moment amazing. I would put that moment just above Shawn's retirement.
So for the first time tonight, tiebreaker, Mace.
While Undertaker and Michaels was a good match, they had previously done better 1 year earlier. And I'll be honest, I didn't think much. Like, when you compare the two, 26 was of lesser quality. I can still put on Rock versus Hogan today and still get the same goosebumps that I did when I watched it live. And it's very hard for a match to retain that quality, you know, 14 years later. Despite what Tim said of it being a shit match, I thought it was really good where they actually reacted to the crowd, and it was two very well-known wrestlers being able to do what wrestling is about, and that is entertaining the fans and working with them. We saw multiple heel and face changes in the flow of a match, and it didn't break anything. So I'm going with Rock versus Hogan.
So there you go on that one. So Rock and Hogan move on to that one. The Austin era begins versus the Randy Savage Miss Elizabeth reunion. Omega.
Again, sticking to the moment and not what came after the moment. I said the same of this moment last time. It's a pure emotional moment, seeing Savage and Elizabeth again. You had that whole storyline when Savage went heel, when the mega powers exploded, and going into that match being a retirement match. You can no longer wrestle again if you lose, and he loses. And again, what gets me about it is that moment of redemption you have in there. Not only Savage going back to what he was,
and why we loved him, but also the fans. You know, you had people openly crying seeing this, not because they were sad to see him leave, but happy to see him the way they wanted to see him again. Happy to see him and Elizabeth together again. It's one of the few wrestling, you know, one of the few, like, love stories in wrestling that actually pulled you in, that actually worked.
Get out of my...
you're talking about the one wedding angle that didn't end in body slams. No, I know, I would go Savage and Elizabeth.
Mace.
Yeah. While the wedding didn't end in body slams, the gift reception ended with a snake in a box. good old Jake.
Was the snake named Jack?
I'm just going to pretend he didn't
Why
say
did
that.
You have to ruin everything?
The Austin winning the belt, it was a good moment. You know, it was Austin getting to the top of the heap. But that sort of got overshadowed by Mike Tyson's knocking Michaels out with one punch. And yeah, like, just pure emotion in the moment deal. Yeah, Savage and Elizabeth by a mile.
Tim.
Savage and Elizabeth.
Which makes your final four. DX and the NWO appear during Triple H versus Sting. Taking on Shawn Michaels retires Ric Flair. Then Icon versus Icon. Hogan vs. Rock versus Savage Elizabeth reunion. Those are your final four, two to be determined next week.
Unbelievable.
That said, quick hits.
Quick hits.
Let's do it.
Time now for some Russell Talk Radio quick hits. Wow. That's right. It's that part of the show where our panel has 60 seconds to answer sometimes outrageous and ridiculous questions posed to them. Step up to the plate and get ready for some Wrestle Talk Radio quick hits.
Three questions. You all get the same question. First, who will have the best WrestleMania entrance this year? Starting with Tim.
Triple H.
Mace.
Yeah, going with Hunter.
Omega.
The New Day.
Who will have the best Hall of Fame speech this year? Mace.
Yeah, that's actually a hard one. I'm probably going to go Sting.
Omega.
Yeah, Sting.
Go ahead, Omega.
Sting's got the longest career, but he's also extremely Christian. In that light, I'm going Godfather.
Tim.
I do believe that most of the road stories the APA and Godfather tell can't be aired on regular TV.
That okay, means- now this is a caveat. What we see on the USA Network or what they actually record and charge for later?
It's what we see live on the WWE Network this Saturday.
That being said, I think there's still probably enough material that those three would be some of the most entertaining things you'd ever hear at a Hall of Fame ceremony.
Because remember, Omega, we actually get to see the full Hall of Fame.
Now, I tend to forget the network gives us things like that now.
I know, just like they forget to tell you about NXT TakeOver. and finally, what color jacket will Michael Hayes wear at the Hall of Fame, Omega?
Oh, jeez.
Because you know he's been planning this for a while.
Well, yeah. You know, I genuinely don't know.
I'm going with red, something a little bit more old school.
Okay. Mace.
A recreation of his old school Freebird jacket.
Tim.
Oh, complete with tassels and everything.
Oh, hell yes.
Damn straight.
Are you piggybacking off of that one?
Yep.
That'll do it for Quick Hits.
And that'll do it for another edition of WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Thank you for those who played Pick'em along with us. Thank you for in advance for all of you, those of you who are going to be playing Pick'em right up until 3 p.m. Eastern Time this coming WrestleMania Sunday, 7 days from now. Don't forget, tomorrow night, immediately following Raw, you're going to get it broke down for you on the Raw Post Show. Immediately following Raw tomorrow night here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Yeah, 11, 10 p.m. Eastern, the Raw Post Show. We'll recap everything that goes down on the go-home edition of Monday Night Raw.
Because that would be impressive as a son of a bitch if you could do that before Raw goes live to air. So, yeah, immediately following. Thursday night, another edition of the multi-time, multi-award-winning, multiple racks. I mean, it's another edition of the Rack with Lindsay Ward.
Now, before we get...
thank God there's only one set of racks on there now.
Well, I don't know. I haven't seen Scott Rock lately. Maybe he's got man boobs.
Anyway, before we get to Thursday...
Just cut out the fried foods, that's all.
Before we get to Thursday, there's a special edition of the Rack. Tuesday afternoon... special podcast with Rob Schomburger, who will be painting the WrestleMania 32 main event at WrestleMania Access. We talked to him all about it. Special podcast Tuesday, available at wildtalkradio.com and rackradioshow.com. Thursday night, it is the Rack, 10 p.m. Eastern. We are going to preview NXT TakeOver, and we are going to be previewing WrestleMania in complete detail. Check it out, it's the Rack. Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. Check out the Rack Extra Total Divas Season 5, Episode 10, now available. Episode 11 will be available on Wednesday. You can follow the show on Twitter, at Rack Radio Show, Facebook.com/Rack Radio Show. Go to the YouTube channel, YouTube.com/Rack Radio Show, as there will be a WrestleMania 32 simulation on there, and probably a playthrough as well. So much content. It's WrestleMania week. Check it all out. Go to RackRadioShow.com as well. Follow Lindsay on Twitter, at Lindsay Ward.
Saturday night, midnight-ish, or as close to get to it, another edition of CB Radio.
Go back and listen to last night's episode. We talked how teens react to Windows 95. Subway plays video games. Tim does a movie review. And all the blame Rob's. CB Radio, midnight-ish, CBRadioLive.com, CB Radio Live on Facebook and Twitter, hashtag blame Rob when a celebrity dies.
And programming, don't forget, WTR Sunday Night is on immediately following WrestleMania next Sunday night. It's an all-day bloody event, WrestleMania. WrestleMania Sunday is. I mean, WrestleMania week starts tonight with this program. But, get on there and review the pay-per-view for you as soon as it's over and done with. That being said, follow Wild Talk Radio Network on the Twitter machines, at Wild Talk Radio. Don't forget to join our Facebook page and group, facebook.com/group/Wild Talk Radio Network, facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. Follow me on the Facebook, facebook.com/menchefs. And you can also follow along with my daily Twitter ramblings at Flames Forums. And while you're at it, follow Mace on Twitter because he tweets about 50 million times a day.
Nowhere near it, Tim.
I know.
If people do want to follow me on the Twitter machines, you can do it at the Mace thing. And it's also at this point that I say thank you, farewell, and goodbye to basically the Wild Talk Radio Network. I have got my marching orders. I am now going to be a full-time employee for the Australian Taxation Office, and that job starts next Monday my time, which means next Sunday night for most of you, which means, guess what, I'm no longer on the show. So it's a bit of a said farewell. Unlike my last job where I had 6 days that I could take off to come and watch, at least watch pay-per-views with everybody, due to the fact of this being a more casual position, if I take a day off, I lose a lot of money that I can't afford to lose. So chances of me taking a day off specifically to come onto the podcast ain't gonna happen. So, yeah. This is my last show for at least God knows how long, probably until I move to the States, which could be another 2 to 3 years.
That being said, there's absolutely no reason why we wouldn't ever get anything pre-recorded from you from time to time on something once in a blue moon.
Maybe. Depends on how I feel. I still have my commitments over at theouterhaven.net for all my video game reviews and whatnot. So that's pretty much most of where my articles will be found. But if I ever record anything wrestling-wise that can be played on the air, then yes, I will send it along to the appropriate people.
Which will be perfect. Now, everybody...
And I apologize to Omega for leaving him here with Tim.
I don't love you anymore.
That's okay, that's okay, that's okay. There's going to be a buffer. Don't worry about it.
Michael? Rob's not much of a buffer.
Michael Buffer? Did we get Michael Buffer?
We hired Michael Buffer to replace Mace.
Man, you really can't afford that now? Wow. No,
trade up.
Well, yeah. Actually, he's paying us because he's so desperate to join the team.
This isn't the same Michael Buffer, is it?
No, it's some guy, Tim at
it's
the food
a different
store.
Mike, yeah.
Anyway, continue on with your... Any more plugs, Mace?
Not really. I just spent the weekend with Ted DiBiase, but no one wants to hear about that. DDP's got a lot of appearances coming up in April in Australia. Check out supernova.com.au. Melbourne City Wrestling. And also, I believe it's ticketblaster.com.au for the Jake the Snake movie. Premiere details down here in Australia. Other than that, I'm good. I'm gone. Bye.
As we say adieu to the Mace thing, we turn the microphone over to the Omega Man.
I know I was giving you shit about it, Mace, but I'm legitimately jealous of that McWrap. I have to be honest.
It was a tasty McWrap too.
That is an awesome moment. Anyone gets something out of the $1 Million Man without being humiliated, that's cool.
Oh yeah, I didn't have to take the $1 Million Dream, I didn't have to kiss his feet, bounce a basketball, do push-ups or anything like that, he just handed it to me.
He's getting soft. Alright, so, as usual, I am all over the social medias in many various forms. If you are inclined to go on Twitter, it is TJ Omega. If you are inclined to Facebook, it is TJ Reviews. You can also find all of what I do over on YouTube at TJ Omega or TJOmega.org for a bunch of exclusive reviews. And it's at this time that I need to announce that due to scheduling conflicts and what I have going on Sunday nights now, I will not be leaving the show anytime soon. So we're all good.
you had deliberately tried to give me a heart attack, didn't you?
Me and Mace planned this. We are going to leave you completely alone.
You bastards. Kind. All right. Are we done?
Get us on iTunes. Search Wild Talk Radio Network. Stitcher as well. Tune in radio. All searching Wild Talk Radio Network.
That's right. That being said, thanks for joining us tonight, everybody. Have a great week. Tune in next Sunday because you're not going to want to miss the debut. We'll talk to you then. Bye!